views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. You'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio here at our new time at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the first Wednesday of every month. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge, ultimately because we all want to become the greatest version of ourselves. I can't believe we're closing in on 100 shows. Woo! So much gratitude to everybody who has supported the show, all of the guests, all the listeners. It's been absolutely amazing. And if you're new and tuning in, you can always go to thelucidplanet.com and download or stream all of our podcasts, or go to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, etc. Also, guys, exciting announcement. Stay tuned for my brand new sex and relationship show, Slut Logic, which is all about empowering people to love and embrace their authentic sexuality, and also reclaiming the words that have been used to oppress and shame people's sexuality. That's debuting very soon. Going to be super lit. Stay tuned for that. That's already on Facebook and Instagram at Slut Logic Show. Now you can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter, and Instagram at The Lucid Planet. And there's a lot more on Instagram of my weird and wonderful strange life. On that note, it's October, and I love October. I love fall. The leaves are changing. It's getting cooler. Pumpkins, Halloween candy everywhere. I've made it no secret that, you know, Halloween or Samhain, spelled Samhain, pronounced Samhain, is really my favorite holiday. And what fascinates me so much is how these ancient kind of pagan traditions that are thousands of years old have really stuck around and become part of our culture today. And not only just Samhain, but really with autumn in general, there's just so much folklore and tradition. And I'm so excited to explore this with my guest today, who is an authority on witchcraft and the magical arts, Judica Illis. Now, Judica fell in love with the magical arts as a child and has been studying and prolifically writing about them ever since. She has written so many books about spirituality, witchcraft, and the occult. Some of my favorites are the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells, Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, the Big Book of Practical Spells. There's a really awesome one all about gods and goddesses. And her newest book, which we're going to talk about today, The Wiser Book of Occult Detectives, is super rad. So if you've listened to the show before, you'd know that Judica has joined me to talk about the importance and the metaphysical kind of significance of the flow of the seasons. And so today's show is all about fall. On that note, let's please welcome Judica Illis to the show. Hey, Judica, it's great to have you back.
Oh, hi, Dr. Kelly. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Very enlightening conversations. And are you excited that it's fall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Although, you know, the year goes so fast, it feels like I just finished last fall.
Dude, I was thinking
but, yeah,
the same thing.
I love this season. You know,
me
it's
too.
The witching season. As soon as, you know, you can feel it in the air, even if you're someplace where the leaves don't turn and it doesn't get colder, you can still feel that vibe.
There's an energy. And where does it come from? Where does these seasonal energies come from? Is it just Gaia, or is it all these years of traditions and rituals that we're
all
kind of sitting
above
on top of?
I think all of the above. I think that there is there's like an energy in sort of fixed points of time, if that makes sense. So yeah. that's kind of inherent. But on an esoteric level, they say that this,
I get in trouble for the they. My boyfriend's always like, who is the they? I'm like,
Well, this is, many, many, many generations of theys.
I actually think you're allowed to say it anyway.
At this time of year, the belief is, here we are in the realm of the living, but there are also different dimensions, the realm of the dead and the realm of the spirits and the fairies and all these different kinds of beings. And usually there's a lot of distance between us. Some people are good at going back and forth, but in general there's distance. But at this, imagine like a curtain between us. And at this time of the year, that curtain starts getting very, very, very thin, and it's easy to go back and forth. And I think we feel it. Even if we don't know it intellectually, we feel it on a very primordial level, a very primal level. And I think for some people it's scary. And for others, it's exciting. I love this time of year.
I love it too. And this is, of course, when people talk about the thinning of the veil. Mm-hmm. And what I love is that phrase, the thinning of the veil, has made its way. It's in popular culture. So like it's in Hocus Pocus and it's in Outlander. It's in all these, movies about this time of year talk about this thinning of the veil. And it's not a literal veil, but it is metaphysically kind of this idea of the boundaries between worlds.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Although for people who do visualization, who are trying to make connections with, especially, dead loved ones, it's a good way to visualize that there is some sort of a curtain that either starts to get pulled back or, it's almost very Twin Peaks. It starts to sort of dissolve.
Dude, right? I mean, it's everywhere. So this is obviously something that people feel a resonance with, or there wouldn't be so much popular media content surrounding it, is the way I look at it.
I think we're wired. I think this is how we're wired. I think we try to deny, in the same way that people deny their sexuality, deny their passions, deny all sorts of desires and emotions. Sometimes we try to rationalize and deny that these things exist, but we're wired for them.
Well, it's funny, all this social conditioning, right, that's happened throughout the ages, like witches being burnt at the stake and any talk of this being heresy. I loved reading about it in the occult detective books about how you couldn't talk about this stuff, so it was turned into stories.
Right.
Right. So there's all this kind of cultural programming, and yet what we're hardwired for is always going to kind of push through, through the veil.
Exactly.
So we're talking about, you mentioned visualization, and I think that is such an important technique. But what else have people done in the past, or what can people do to kind of maximize this fall energy?
There are many, many things that you can do, and Halloween used to be a super romantic holiday.
I love that.
Little tingle in the air. If you go back, and I write about this in my book, Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, if you go and look at postcards of the early 20th century, you'll see a lot of images of romantic Halloween and all sorts of rituals for looking into mirrors to see who your true love would be.
I actually looked those up last year.
You go into a room that's lit only by a candle and get undressed and look
into it,
turn your back to the mirror and look over your shoulder, and what will you see in that mirror? And I love mirror magic. I think it's
mirror
fun
magic.
But you have to be prepared to see stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
This is a perfect time for any kind of magic. It's just if you are new to spell casting, if you're new to divination, if you're new to, communications with the beyond, it is easier to do it now. If you haven't had luck before, try it again now. As we go from, you know, now, the beginning of October, through, it doesn't terminate on October 31st or November 1st, but October 31st, November 1st is the peak of that power. You know,
yes.
maybe that veil is non-existent then. It's like having, you know, a booster. The time itself will help you accomplish it. So any sort of seance work, any sort of, you know, gazing in a crystal ball, which...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, which, you know, and I have a crystal ball, and I can tell you, you know, it's not that easy to do it effectively. You know, there's all these sort of romantic movie images of looking at a crystal ball and, you know, or like the Wizard of Oz, you know, you'll see stuff. And it's actually, it can be challenging. So this is a, you know, this is like, it's like being given a boost of like extra special energy. And the world, the, you know, Gaia, everything is cooperating with you. So this is just a good time for anything you might desire to do.
I love that. And I think it's important to note before we go to the break that, you know, when we talk about the idea of witchcraft and magic, it evokes a certain image, right? Like a witch, like a hag witch, you know, doing evil stuff.
It's a Rorschach. You ask people what they see when they see a witch, it'll tell you a lot about them. Maybe not so much about the witches.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So it's like, that's kind of what, like, if you search for witch on the internet, you'll get all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, where's like the goddess, you know, witch who's like moving energy and doing all this magical stuff? And I feel like that image is becoming more prevalent, that this is really about intention and energy and, oh my gosh, there's my cat outside. As soon as I say witch, my cat appears and meows at me. Sorry. but yeah, this is just a really beautiful, I think it's a really beautiful concept and often very misunderstood. So, and if you're looking for more about that, in particular, Encyclopedia of Witchcraft by Judica is a great place to start. On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, Judica Illis and I will be talking more about autumn, Samhain, pagan traditions, the magic arts, magic spells, and of course, occult detectives. So stay with us. We're getting weird about it. All right. See you in a minute.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit cambokiss.com.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio,
Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. What a lovely intro song by our producer, Benny. Thank you, The Autumn Leaves. Because we, of course, are doing a show all about autumn today and fall energies with my guest, Judica Illis. And before we continue, Judica, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you to find out about your many wonderful books, like the new Wiser Book of Occult Detectives, and also the workshops that you do.
Oh, I'm like so embarrassed. My website is so out of date and needs to be brought up to date. But I do have a website, which is my name, JudikaIlles.com. But I'm all over social media. I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and that's probably the, and I post everything. I post wherever I'm going and new books. So that's probably Perfect. The easiest way to get in touch with me and find me.
I want to know, how are you so prolific at writing? I mean, like every year or less, you have a new book.
Probably a mental illness. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I know, but it's really funny because I have so many books in my head and I feel guilty that I haven't, you know, brought them forth. So I don't feel prolific.
Oh my gosh. Well, keep going, girl, because I'm really enjoying what you're doing. I want to talk a little bit about Samhain. And, you know, you mentioned before the break that Halloween was a romantic holiday,
Yes. Which
of course always makes me think about like the slutty Halloween costumes
and why
this is a thing, you know, like why? Because like, I mean, I'll dress slutty like any day of the year, you know what I'm saying? But is there a connection here, do you think?
It's the power and the energy. And I mean, I think people are sexual beings. And we've really, over the last 2,000 years have just become so repressed. Mm-hmm. You know what you were saying before about the goddess, that willingness to let women be multifaceted and to, we can be old hags. And hag derives from a word meaning holy. But we can be those old, we don't have to be good looking if we don't want to be, but, and we don't have to be judged on our appearance, but we can be these beautiful, sexy goddesses also, and we can be angry and raging I think it's very much a reflection of the boxes that women are put into, and also Gaia, the wild, this desire to tame everything and, clip that grass. And it's all caught up together.
It is.
But yeah.
Well, I love that.
It's a sexy time of year,
It is.
It's
just something about it. Well, what I love is, this whole, the virgin, the mother, the hag. That's like the traditional roles that kind of like Western Judeo-Christian society will allow women to have. And we are seeing a breakdown of this. We are seeing like a new revolution in the way that women and men see themselves and their gender roles. And I think that's really empowering.
And the traditional meaning of virgin, which is not, a woman who hasn't had sex or a person who hasn't had sex. Traditional.
I did not know that.
It derives from a woman who is independent, a woman who does not have a husband, or a woman whose sexuality is not controlled. She can choose not to have sex.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
You know, in a world where women are expected to be sexy in certain ways, and you know, you have to be in a relationship, and if you're in a relationship, there's all those debates about, can there be rape in a marriage? Which, I mean, think about that. You can do what you want. A woman who is not beholden to anyone. And we see that in the goddess Artemis, who, it's very interesting because that fixation on virginity as no sex, I see, angry emails I get.
I love getting trolled.
it's in response to my work, and my book, Encyclopedia of Spirits and Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, I talk about a lot of old myths in the meaning of sacred story, not in the sense of myth as something that's not true. Myth, they come in layers. Like the myths of 1,000 years ago are not the same as 2,000 years ago, are not the same as 3,000 years ago. And we do have documents going back fairly far. And, for example, the goddess Athena in her earliest incarnation is not that virginal in the sense of not having sex. And it's this, and people, men, react to that with so much anger. And it's like, I didn't make this up. You could go read the anthropology books and I didn't make this stuff up. That is the story. But people react to that with so much anger. It's very interesting.
Well, it is. But, your entire worldview is clinging to something, some archetype of what the female form is or the female energy.
Right.
And what we're finding now is it's flexible. And that's scary to some people. But I don't know. I always feel like if I'm getting trolled and hate mail, then I'm doing something right. The fact that they put that much effort into reaching out to tell you how mad they are means you triggered them super hard.
Yeah, you pushed a button.
Good job. So it is. Okay, well, let's get, thank you for that. I'm going to have to reread and look into that more, because that was really fascinating. While we're on the topic of kind of these Halloween Samhain symbols, now, I know you told me, we've talked about this a little bit, the idea of the ghosts, the pumpkins, the candy, the trick-or-treating. There's some kind of like pagan tradition that underlies this that has to do with actual ghosts. Am I right?
It's believed that this is the time of the year when, that veil gets thin and the ghosts walk. Ancestors come home. And sometimes that's good, and depending on your ancestors, maybe it's not. the ghosts walk, and the hungry ghosts walk. And hungry ghosts are those ghosts who don't have families to welcome them. They don't have, maybe they never had a gravestone or a marker, and they're forgotten, but here they are, and they're hungry. And we say pagan, and that's become such a big umbrella term. But this is a concept that's, relatively universal, relatively global, and it does exist in, in cultures that wouldn't be considered pagan. There are all sorts of Day of the Dead traditions that are Christian.
Mm.
And the concept of trick or treating, and if you look at those old costumes where somebody some kid puts on a sheet and cuts out eyes and they look like a ghost. It's the ghost coming to the door and being given, you give them something sweet so they won't play any tricks on you. they go away happy and they go to the next house. But that concept also that hungry ghosts should not be invited in because they might
give them
uncomfortable.
Give them something to put, get them on their way that they're not.
Give them a little something. And it's a treat. It's not so generous that they want to hang around forever. But enough of a treat that they're not going to get angry and do something to you. And a lot of Halloween, even toilet papering somebody's house or throwing eggs or things like that. It's a sort of ritualizing these beliefs, mimicking.
So you're saying it's okay. So you're saying it's okay. No.
People should be good neighbors.
I know. No one knows where I live, but my friends.
Be a
I know
good
I have
neighbor.
Some friends. I know my friends listening out there, I have this Halloween problem where I get tons of candy and then no trick-or-treaters show up. And I sit there on the porch eating the candy. And
I always buy candy I don't like. I won't eat it.
If only there was one for me. I like all. okay. Oh, we got a couple minutes to the break. I wanted to ask you, there are some really cool Halloween rituals. We talked about being naked in a dark room and looking in the mirror and blowing out the candle at the stroke of midnight. And what you see in the mirror is your true love.
Yeah.
Now, what about something I remember from last year is talking about standing at a crossroads.
Yeah. The crossroads is the magical place.
Yes.
It's the point of power. And there are crossroads where roads meet. So, I mean, ideally, it's this romantic country crossroads that's, safe,
right,
but a little spooky. But, there are crossroads in any town that's built on a grid system.
Yep.
Has tons of crossroads. And it is the point of power where energy is concentrated. And it's also where, because you have a choice of roads, think about that metaphorically. It's where you could change your life. If you are on a path, if you feel stuck, and I have a good spell for that, but I don't think I have time to tell you now, so maybe after the break.
After the break, I would love to hear that, yeah.
But it is the place, if you are looking for some place to be at midnight on Halloween, that's the place to be. And it used to be, if you were at a crossroads at midnight, on any night, but especially on a special night, That was grounds for getting you accused of witchcraft.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
It's where the witches hang out.
Just chilling midnight at the crossroads.
Right.
I think about that Robert Johnson song about being down at the crossroads.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, the movie
I went down to the crossroads. And Robert Johnson and I used to be a blues disc jockey. You know, Robert Johnson and blues music is full of metaphysical references.
Oh, well, especially that story. When we, Judica, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit more about this. Because, in that Robert Johnson, the whole story, selling his soul to the devil, and then the devil comes back, and, anyway. But you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio. We're talking about all things Samhain and fall and autumn. And, when we come back with Judica Illis here, we'll talk about occult detectives as well as some blues music metaphors and some other Halloween rituals. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what."
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud. The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile,
and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gihon. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
we are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I just wanted to sit here and listen to that song, but we got too much stuff to talk about. I'm here with author and witchcraft expert Judica Illis, talking about Samhain, Autumn, just all kinds of goodies. And we left off just by briefly mentioning the idea of being at a crossroads at midnight, which of course evoked thoughts of Robert Johnson and blues music symbolism. And Judica has some experience with that, so I'd just love to hear your take on that.
You know, as an aside, you know, we can talk about it, but the month of October on my Facebook page, my public Facebook page, I am playing, I play songs every night. So if you go find me, you can hear some of these songs yourself. I haven't played Robert Johnson's Crossroads yet, but I will. And Robert Johnson's songs are just peppered with hoodoo references and all sorts of magical references. And, you know, even that concept, for people who are not familiar, he was one of the defining artists of blues music, the American genre, the African-American genre, blues music. And you probably know a lot of his songs from covers by Cream did Crossroads and the Rolling Stones. Do Stop Breaking Down, and there's all sorts of, you know, there's tons of covers of his songs. But famously, he wanted to learn how to play the guitar, a little bit similar to the Paganini story with the violin. You know, he wanted to play the guitar, and he apparently wasn't that great. And then he came back to town one day. He disappeared and he came back to town, and he was amazing. And, you know, if you look at photographs of him, he has these long, sort of spidery fingers.
I get the chills. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, and the legend was that he went down to the crossroads and sold his soul to the devil in exchange for the ability to play the guitar. And there's all sorts of, you know, that's the whole Faustian concept.
Yes.
You know, that the devil will be able to grant you your heart's desire in exchange for your soul after you die. Now, you know, there are some questions. The Robert Johnson story is very profound because who is that devil at the crossroads? And in the same way, the word devil, like the word witch, is a Rorschach test. What do people mean by that? Of course, in, you know, in African tradition, Papa Legba is the master of the crossroads. And Papa Legba is a dark man who limps and has a cane and is a smooth talker. And, you know, is that the devil? I leave that for you to, you know, to decide, or, you know, because Papa Legba certainly is, many people would consider themselves his friend, or, you know, he is their patron, and, you know, he's a very, very beloved sacred being of assorted African diaspora traditions. He appears in many pantheons in Africa, not just one. Mm-hmm. He's very, very important. But Robert Johnson died very young and very tragically. He was poisoned.
Yes. And, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, makes you wonder. Makes you wonder indeed.
You just brought up something else. It's total tangent that I just had to comment on, which is like people who've read American Gods or been watching the series of it. It's that whole idea of like the gods that people choose to believe in are the ones that exist. And we personify them and make them real. So Papa Legba might be the devil for someone. And then like Lucifer might be the devil for someone else. And they both kind of exist in their archetypal kind of dream space. And it's really interesting. But anyway, I feel, you know what we want? I was hoping you would share with me your spell for being at the crossroads. Not in the Robert Johnson sense.
There are many spells for being at the crossroads. There are tons of them. I'm going to give you two that are easy and that anybody can do. But there are, you know, if you look at my book, Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells, and there are sections on this, and in Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, they both talk about crossroads. You'll find more.
Yes.
But an easy one for midnight on Halloween is to get an oracle. And so go to a crossroads. The point of power of a crossroads is the center. But many crossroads are traffic intersections. Please don't stand in the middle of a traffic intersection. Because if you get run over, you know, the whole point of a spell or divination is to improve your life. And if the spell puts you in the hospital, then it's not working the way it's supposed to be. You can stand to the side. It's okay. Go at midnight and sort of try not to listen to anything. I mean, some people will, and again, be safe. Some people put cotton in their ears until they get there. At midnight, and you can sit in your car. This will work in your car, too. At midnight, listen. If you've got cotton in your ears, take them out. If you're sitting in your car, turn on your radio. And the first thing you hear is an omen for the coming year.
Oh, I love it.
You know, if you think of Halloween, Samhain is also the new year. It's the Celtic dark half of the year, the beginning of the year. So you can look at this as an omen for October 31st through the next October 31st or through Beltane, which is in May, which is, you know, the opposite side of the year. But whatever you hear, and if it's good, that's great. And if it's not good, it gives you an opportunity to fix it and change your path and change your destiny. So it's all
good. I love
that. And
now
another one, I'm going to give you another one that does not have to be done at midnight. It can be done anytime. If you are somebody who is a busy person, especially if you're taking kids trick-or-treating, this is an easy spell to do. Like if you don't have enough time to cast a spell, This is you can do this walking your dog. You can do this taking the kids trick-or-treating. It's discreet. What you're going to do, and this is actually a spell that is dedicated to Papa Legba, master of the crossroads. And Papa Legba opens the gates to good fortune and obstructs the things you don't want to reach you, whatever it might be, disasters, you know, exes. anything you'd like him to keep, you know, obstruct, to put a challenge in front of them, to put some sort of a block in front of them. And you need like four of those little paper bags that you put candy in, hard candies for children.
Mm-hmm.
Stick a handful of candy in them and a couple pennies, small coins, don't count. Just throw some stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And take four, you have four of these, go into the bathroom and get undressed. Put one of the bags away. Just reserve it. Don't do anything with them. But with the other three, you're going to rub them against your body. This is a cleansing spell to remove anything, any curses, any negativity, anything creepy that's clinging to you, and bad luck. And you start at the top of your arms and move down because you're trying to get rid of it. So you want to, you use downward, away from your heart, top of your legs, down, top of your arms, down, and just do that with all three bags. And then get dressed. You need to wear something with pockets. So put a jacket on, stick the three bags that you have used to cleanse yourself in one pocket, and the clean bag, the bag that you haven't done anything with, in the other pocket. And now go for a walk. And just look for a crossroads, which is, you know, look for four corners. And you're going to go from corner to corner, and discreetly at each one, drop a bag. start with the three that you use to cleanse yourself. So go to a corner, drop a bag. Go to a corner, drop a bag. Go to a corner, drop a bag. And you're getting rid of your blues. You're getting rid of your troubles. And at the fourth one, drop the clean bag, because that's your payment for couple like that. Take your stuff away. And then go home. Don't walk home exactly the way you got there. Take a circuitous route, a little bit roundabout. Spirits, those little low-level negative spirits can't do circuitous routes. They only do straight lines. And so
I'm totally doing this.
Yeah, you want to keep them away from you. If somebody calls you, hey, lady, you dropped something, ignore it, pretend to death.
So my question is, if kids find the candy in the bags used to cleanse and start eating it, are they going to, like, take in all your gross energy?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
And kids should not be picking up candy from the street.
Well, the whole love of candy thing, you know.
I drop it in piles of leaves because I know it's going to get cleaned up.
You'll get swept up. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't put chocolate because dogs are more likely to eat it than kids.
That's true. So just like little hard candies.
Yeah, because dogs don't care. But,
oh, my gosh, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, kids should know better than to be picking up strange pets than eating it.
You know. Oh, man, we are just killing it today. We're almost out of time. I just wanted to bring up really quickly, Judica, about the idea of the autumn energy of fall of harvest and like death and decay. What does that mean for people as far as like, it's not necessarily a dark or negative time. Is there some kind of reflection or meditation they can do to kind of harness that energy?
Well, I mean, I think that's the old bird song, you know, to every season. Turn. There is something for every season, and to acknowledge the season. And we live in a world where it's easy. You know, we've got air conditioning and heat, and it's easy to control our climate and not be in tune with what's actually going on in the world outside. And so, in places where there are four seasons, and where in the northern hemisphere, where the harvest is done and, you've gotten all the food you're going to get. And the fall, late fall going into the winter is a time for telling stories, which will bring us into a cult detective. But,
yes,
it's the time
yeah. Well, I was just going to say, let's just skip the break and start talking about occult detectives too, because it's very important to me. But you're absolutely right that connecting to that earth rhythm is important for us. Like harvest is, you reap what you sow.
Maybe this is a time to let yourself take stock of what you've accomplished so far this year and to make plans for the spring and to forgive yourself for the things you haven't accomplished and to grieve for the things you've lost and the people you've lost and dreams maybe that you've lost, whatever those are, and to, be like bears and hibernate and let ourselves gestate our creative plans and our goals that will spring to fruition with the first flowers in the spring.
It's so crazy how quickly you're like, take stock of what you've done. I'm like, man, this year's gone by quick.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And that sounds very soothing to be present in your emotions.
Yeah.
And to take stock of where you are in life.
Yeah. And it's a fixed point, October 31st. So where were you last October 31st and what's different? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it the same? Because it's sort of easier to compare October 31st to October 31st, 2016 to 2017 than where was I last week or 3 weeks ago?
Where you can look back and be like, oh, that's what I did for Halloween. I did this, that was my slutty Halloween costume last year. I remember. I'm canceling the break because I just want to keep going. And I really want to touch on the occult detectives. Now, Judica, can you explain to us, what occult detectives, I just want to say, it's something out there that all of you already know about, but it's kind of a genre that hasn't really been given a label like this until now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's something that's so familiar we don't think about it, because how many, it's all over television, it's all over the movies, books, comic books, video games, you know, the X-Files, the Dresden Files, Scooby-Doo. It is, you know, detectives detect things. They investigate things. But occult detectives, and it's a wide spectrum, occult detectives detect and investigate things that have a supernatural or a paranormal or a mysterious esoteric element. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a regular detective, like, you know, it's just a guy, you know, Fox Mulder. And and he realizes that there are things out there that are Fortean, that are, you know, don't have easy answers. And he goes exploring, and it's being open-minded to possibility. And some occult detectives, and you'll find some of these in the Wiser Book of Occult Detectives, have, they may be investigating perfectly mundane crimes, you know, bank robberies or murders or kidnappings, but they have their own esoteric and occult power.
Mm.
And they use, so they're not just doing the Sherlock Holmes deductive reasoning. They're, you know, they're using whatever they have. And I mean, I think we see that with Constantine.
Constantine. I love that movie so much. Yes, totally. And it's like, he's totally next level. Like, you know, anyway, you guys have to watch
it. And some people are like, you know, the Winchester brothers, who, you know, may or may not have supernatural powers of their own, but are well versed in the occult. And so they know what they're looking at because they've done a lot of studying. And you have like all these varying, and sometimes sometimes there is an esoteric solution. There is a ghost performed the murder, but sometimes what looks paranormal turns out to have a very, you know, rational, you know, reason behind it. And that's always the Scooby-Doo plot, you know, Scooby-Doo. There's always like some evil guy who's really, you know, it's usually like greed that is at the basis of it, and it's very human, and it's just someone who's masquerading and trying to obfuscate the problem by bringing in all these paranormal elements. So it's this big fun genre.
Dude, so fun. And the book, the Wiser Book of Occult Detectives, 13 Stories of Supernatural Sleuthing, I thought it was great because it picks up kind of during this 19th century occult renaissance, right? And there's, you know, 13 really fun stories in there. What is your favorite occult detective story, Judica?
I really like all of them. I read all my books out loud while I'm writing to make sure that, there are no typos. I can't. Yeah. I like a lot of these. I like, there's a Sax Rohmer story in it called The Case of the Veil of Isis. And Sax Rohmer is most famous for, he was the creator of Fu Manchu. But he also had, like Arthur Conan Doyle, and there's an Arthur Conan Doyle story in here, he had other characters. And his occult detective is a dream detective.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
He dreams that the solutions come to him, and I love dreams.
Me too.
I just love.
Oh my gosh, can we do a dream show sometime?
Yeah. Oh my god, I would love.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, I mean, most of my books have dream sections because I love dreams.
Me too.
And so I like that one.
Yeah.
The first story, the story that I realized I was going to do this book is the Helena Blavatsky story, which is called The Cave of the Echoes. And I almost put that in, I had done a previous compilation, the Wiser Book of the Fantastic and Forgotten, but at some point I realized how many occult detective stories there were and how many good occult detective stories there were. And I thought, I'm going to save this. And so I'm going to save this because maybe one day I can put a bunch of them in a book together. And that was, that story is kind of dear to my heart because that's the seed from which the book grew.
Awesome. Something else I wanted to bring up in the topic of a Samhain Halloween show was you talk about how one of the methods used in occult detective stories and sleuthing is the spirit board.
Yeah.
And invented in 1880, the most popular being the Ouija board.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about like the history of what these things actually do? And if this is a good thing to do on Halloween, if you have your own kind of supernatural sleuthing to do?
The Ouija board itself, it's a portal. All these spirit boards, and they are based on earlier, the roots are much more ancient. There is a Chinese divination sandboard that's much older, and the French were doing planchettes, which are the direct ancestor of the Ouija board you can go and, you know, easily buy today. It's a portal. And by what that means is that it is a communication device that enables you to contact those beings that you can't just call up on the telephone. You know, and it is most famously used to contact the dead, souls of the dead. But there are also stories about Ouija boards being used to contact extraterrestrial beings. So there's all sorts of things you can do with it. I'm going to be really frank. There's nothing you can do with a Ouija board that you can't also do with the mirror.
Boom.
You know, but it's harder.
Can I interject for one second? I'm sorry. So the movie Candyman kind of like ruined the mirror for me. I saw it when I was like 8 and it like just traumatized me. Tell me about the mirror. I want to overcome my, you know, that conditioning.
We should do a show on mirrors. We should do a show on mirrors because you can do mirrors.
Awesome.
Mirrors are, and I talk about mirrors in several of my books because I mean, we could do 3 hours on mirrors alone. Mirrors are really magical in the concept. You know, it's Alice in Wonderland, you know, what's behind the looking glass.
And like Snow White, right?
Yeah.
The magic mirror.
Yeah, mirror on the wall. So, you know, and there are concepts that there is actually a whole parallel universe, a reflective world with alter egos on the other side of the mirror. And not that this is exactly, you know, I opened this book with occult detectives with a quote from The Secret History of Twin Peaks. And I love Twin Peaks.
I love Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks is a, sort of a big part of my life, and it's not it's not exactly mirror magic, but that concept of
duplicates,
and parallels, and it's dizzying.
Well,
it's
don't you think now
mirrors.
We're talking about like this multiverse now, right?
It's
that it might actually, like quantum physics is showing it might actually exist.
Yeah.
That there are multiple timelines that are just slightly different.
You asked a good question, and I just want to answer it. Is it safe? That's like asking, is a table safe? A table safe? Well, you know, not if it's got sharp edges and there's a toddler who's running around unsupervised.
Yeah.
You know, clearly the same kid who's eating candy off the street. But
so how do you make it safe?
You have to, it's not about the, well, I mean, you can cleanse it and you can do all sorts of rituals and you can call in the archangels and never say who's there. Use it.
Have a specific intention, right? Like, so not just anyone can come in.
Have a specific person. I want to speak to grandma.
Yeah.
And, you know, and ask her something that you know it's grandma. Not just, who, you know, is there anybody out there? Because, you know, that's like opening your door in a busy city and saying, anybody out there? Anybody want to come in?
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
People who are busy and are minding their own business are not going to come in. People with nothing better to do and who probably have
hungry ghosts again.
But the important thing is to know how afraid you are.
Yes.
Because fear is the lure. If you are not, and you need to know yourself, if anything makes you uncomfortable, don't do it.
Yes.
Because fear is like, you know, honey for bears. Fear attracts spirits who like fear, and they will want you to produce more. And so they will be invested in scaring you so you can produce more so they can consume it. And that is a dangerous place to be. But if you're not...
that. Finish your thought, Judica, and then we got to go.
I know. You know, people scare me a lot more than spirits scare me.
So, exactly. I agree with that.
So I'm not worried about Ouija boards because that doesn't scare me as much as some other things.
Yes, it is the real flesh
any
and
kind
blood.
Of magical work. Know how you need to have a fear meter, and you need to know what you're afraid of, because otherwise you can get yourself in trouble with anything.
So check in with yourself and don't do what makes you feel uncomfortable. But if you want to do it, you know, maybe check out some of Judica's books or re-listen to the show, or you can contact both of us on social media if you have questions. What a great show, Judica Illis. Always a pleasure. I feel like we just need our own show to talk about all this stuff because we just keep going. But yes, please, everyone have a wonderful Halloween, Samhain, Autumn. And Judica, thank you so much for coming in. I had such a wonderful time.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Guys, remember, you can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of our podcasts for free on iTunes, SoundCloud, etc. My next show, I'm interviewing acclaimed leadership coach Carrie Williams about how to achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.